The views and opinions expressed by John and DJ do not reflect those of any intelligent or rational human being and are solely the property of the Brightside Chat.
This show is a proud member of the Nerdy Legion Podcast Network. Get more at nerdylegion.com. Enjoy the show!
Hey, welcome back to The Bright Side for issue 51, The Joker. Hey, this episode was so much fun for us to do. It's John's got a take, I've got a take, we agree, we disagree. John thinks he doesn't agree with me, but then he thinks he does agree with me. We're not even sure when it all ends. This episode is probably as screwed up as the movie is. So we had so much fun doing it, and at the end, we lock the door again, and we get into Deceased and House of X number 6. Let's just get into the story. Hey, John, how we doing?
I'm doing fantastic, DJ. How are you?
I'm doing great. Very excited to be here. Very excited for this issue.
You are?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, it's been... I couldn't wait. A little bit of news since the last time we talked. First and foremost, I don't know, this pops out into my head. What do you think of Martin Scorsese?
Oh, well... I mean... It is what it is, right? I mean, like, everybody's entitled to their opinion.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
Scorsese, you know, you can't take anything away from the guy. I mean, he's made some masterpieces when it comes to movies, and, you know, comic book movies just aren't his thing. You know, I don't think you should... You know, like, I liked James Gunn's response to it.
Yes.
I don't know if you had a chance to see that.
Nope.
And that's kind of how I feel. Like, you know, you shouldn't, you know, crap on a whole genre of movies that you're not even really watching, just because you have a preconceived idea of what you think they are. But, you know, again, at the end of the day, it all comes down... I mean, James Cameron did the same thing, right? So...
Yeah, and that's really ironic.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I know. Right? More so... Right, because he's doing Aliens and Avatar. Like, he's doing franchises.
And Terminator.
And Terminator, you know? Right. So, but yeah, like I said, it ultimately just comes... First of all... You know, Scorsese's producer on a movie that hit the theaters this week, so I think it's just a little bit of a soundbite for publicity. And then it's just his opinion.
Right. And I almost put out in my tweet, like, Marcus from the Boxers puts out a tweet saying, like, MCU fans are salty or whatever. Well, yeah. I can't remember off the top of my head, but I know that was the line. And I'm like, MCU fans are salty? They're not the ones that started that, you know what I mean? And then,
right.
And I actually put the gif of Rambo, and it's like, they drew first blood, not me.
Right.
I almost wanted, like, I had worded it like unsolicited, but I know it wasn't unsolicited. He didn't just come out of his house and say, I want to make a statement against MCU. Somebody asked him a question, and this was his answer, and he's entitled to his opinion, but why would you say something like, I think the best would be like, oh, they're very enjoyable. No comment or something. Right. You know, I know a lot of people like them. It's not my cup of tea.
Look, you know, right. Just say that. Just say,
right.
Look, it's not my thing, but I appreciate that they exist. I'm happy to share space with them in the theaters, whatever. It's like, just say, look, it's not my thing, you know,
to say they're not part of cinema, like they're not in my genre, like, yeah, they are. It's like, we go to the movies to see them. They are cinema. It's like, whether you like it or not, it's like, you know, and it's funny because Spielberg's trying to do the same thing with the Netflix streaming movies.
Right.
And it's like, people are feeling threatened. And it's like, do they forget what it was like when they were coming up?
Right.
And it's like, you know, there's...
The thing, right, because if Netflix was a thing in the late 70s, early 80s, then he would have been a producer and he would be producing streaming movies for Netflix. It's just that wasn't the time for him, but it's the time now. So, you know, don't take away from what other people are doing to produce their content.
Right.
Just because it's not how you came up. You know, I mean, they're not shooting movies on Super 8 anymore, you know, but that doesn't mean
that
what's being made today isn't a valid avenue for producing. I think... Not to get way off on a tangent, but I mean, as far as, you know, if you're a creative type, I mean, these are the golden times, right?
Yeah.
Because there's so many avenues. Now, you don't have to rely on just getting your 2-hour movie into a movie theater. Now you can go to, you know, the movie studios, but you can also go to Netflix and Hulu and Amazon Prime and Crackle and, you know, whatever, you know, whatever
YouTube,
else there is.
Yeah.
And get your movie produced, to the point where I think it's, not that I'm not going to be producing a movie anytime soon because I'm not that talented, but I mean, to the point where they're so starved for content, you don't even have to be a great creator anymore. You just have to have an idea and the ability to finish it on the deadline.
Well,
you know,
nice segue into our next topic. What movie are we going to create for DC Universe?
Yeah, that's a weird look. Now,
yeah, I agree.
If you look at that, it's unscripted is what they're looking for. So they're not looking for somebody to come up with their next movie or TV show. But right, what they're looking – and I almost tweeted that. It's like, so the Bright Side chat on DC Universe – but yeah, they're looking for unscripted stuff. So
They didn't say untalented.
Yeah.
They just said unscripted.
No, they just said unscripted.
Damn, we were so close.
It's still an interesting look because, you know, you and I had famously had a little tiff about this a few weeks ago about how, you know, DC Universe wasn't really announcing anything new. It's not a great look that this is what they're doing to announce something new.
And what's funny is,
although,
for the record, I wasn't against what you were saying. It was just the time of you saying it. I'm like, I was trying to promote them, and you're like, boom, let's drop the hammer.
I get it. But I did see Jim Lee, part of Jim Lee's panel from New York City Comic Con, and he did confirm that Stargirl is done with principal photography.
Oh, nice.
And that it is, you know, well on its way to being released.
So did you sleep
there
better last night?
There is at least something. Well, yeah, I did, because there is at least something brand new on the horizon. Although the second part of the announcement, with the Bizarro TV or whatever, with the imp, I don't know if you saw this or not. So they have like an anthology series coming out that's supposed to be half animated and half live action, kind of like a Saturday Night Live type of thing where you have different skits or whatever, but digging really deep into like Ambush Bug and all these wacko characters that, you know, nobody really has ever heard of. And that doesn't excite me or get my juices flowing at all. So,
no, but not all content is going to, but that, I mean,
no,
at least
and you know
reaching.
What? I can't be a hypocrite because I said, you know, they should mine deep for properties instead of just redoing Arrow all the time. And, well, they're mining deep for properties. So, you know, I guess be careful what you wish for. But, you know, we'll see. It could be good, but it's not exactly what I had in mind when I was thinking of.
No, and like getting back to the whole DC universe, they're asking people for content. The only reason I don't think it's a good look is because exactly what you were worried about is they're at the time where it doesn't appear that they have a lot of content, and then they're reaching out. As opposed to if there was a ton of content, like if this was Disney Plus and we saw all this content, we'd be like, yay, they want to add new content too. But where it looks like they don't have a lot, and you're like, how about you? What do you want? What do you got? It just does. I agree. It doesn't look right. So let's see. What else do we got?
Titans is still the bomb though, so I can't. As long as they've got Titans, they've got my money. So,
did you see this week's?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
The only thing is, we'll go spoiler-free because it's literally hours old, 24 hours old. I loved the episode. I loved the ending. But they just ended the episode the same way they ended another episode.
Yeah.
All right. Is that all we have? That's all we have for news.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, obviously, New York City Comic Con's happening this weekend.
Yeah.
You know, if you've listened to any of our special on the street, Man on the Street reports, you know.
Man in a cab.
you know that's happening. So we'll have a lot more news to break down, I'm sure, on Wednesday when we get a chance to pull all the things together. But yeah, there's been some little tidbits announced comics-wise. And,
yeah.
You know, things like that that we'll put it all together for Thursday.
All right. And this week's FOC, we got obviously, like you were saying earlier, the Venom one. That's
the
Venom standout 19, of the week.
Yeah, I think that's you know, one of the better covers I've seen in a long time, and it's definitely the best one this week. Jae Hyung Lee, which is a newer artist, like it's a newer name for me. I don't recall seeing him.
I know when I first saw it, I was thinking of In-Hyuk.
Well, right, me too.
I was like,
me too.
Have we been spelling it wrong?
Like, yeah, no, it's just
No.
It's just very, it's similar, but obviously not the same guy. But yeah, he's a newer, I guess a newer artist on the scene, at least to me. Maybe, you know, we'll get a bunch of comments saying, no, idiot, he did this and this and this.
Right. But, that's cool.
But I, either way, it's, I really like it. It's a really cool cover.
Yeah. It's, I mean, it's so good. Her skin tone, just that grayish, but the realism of her skin, but then the design around her of Venom. And
right. Which is, insane. Yeah, the symbiote.
Yeah. Yeah. I really like The Deceased. You liked the first one. Who is the
artist? I like the Yasmin Putri.
Yeah.
Yasmin Putri. I mean, I like them both, don't get me wrong. But I, if I had to pick out of the three covers, that would be my pick. But I know you like the Mateena.
I really do like the Mateena. I don't know which one I like better, but I did notice, like, when you were putting the notes together and I saw them, I was flipping through and you didn't make a note, and I was like, wow, that one is pretty good. Like,
yeah, I just didn't want to list the same book twice. Yeah. But again, it's to each his own. I mean, you know, hey, I'm sure your comic book store wouldn't mind if you got both. So
yeah, exactly.
You know, if you have to do that, you have to do that.
Always the salesman.
I know, right? Gotta promote my industry, man.
Exactly. All right. Is that it? We ready?
I think so. Yeah.
All right. Let's get into it. Let's get into, what are we on? Issue 51 now?
Issue 51.
Issue 51. Oh, here we go. Wrinkles the Clown.
I need you to come get these kids.
Yeah, I got a child that's
supposed to be. I found out about wrinkles through a news story.
Meet Southwest Florida's Wrinkles the Clown.
Oh, wait, that's not it?
I was going to say Wrinkles the Clown. I was waiting for you to put something, a sounder or something in. I didn't know what was going on.
Did I see the wrong movie?
Yeah, I don't think that was it.
Uh-oh.
We saw it, right? It was Pennywise?
Yeah.
Yeah,
how did, I mean, is Wrinkles the Clown, are they trying to, like, did they release on the same weekend thinking that they're gonna...
they would just capitalize on, people would walk into the wrong movie, right?
Well, it's a clown, I guess that's the
that's
one.
That's the one that has a clown on the poster, so let me go see that one.
Exactly. All right, let's get into issue 51, long time coming. Joker.
Yeah.
My mother always tells me to smile and put on a happy face. She told me I had a purpose. To bring laughter and joy to the world. Is it just me? Or is it getting crazier out there?
Alrighty. So, actually, let's start with this. I got a tweet from one of our listeners, JR, at hooded_collector, collector. Okay. So, he wrote, at Brightside Chat, very much looking forward to your thoughts on Joker. Personally loved it, especially tying the traits of the Joker to Arthur. Could have done without other comic references, but didn't detract it. Dark, beautiful, haunting, disturbing. We'll open with that, and we'll go spoiler-free for as long as we possibly can. And because I know how much you love that. So first off, you and I talked yesterday, and we didn't want to tell each other a thing.
Right.
Did you like this?
Here's how – I've been thinking all day about how I was going to respond to that
question.
Look
at that pause. I know.
I appreciate this as a film, and I know that sounds really pretentious.
No, I agree.
But I appreciate this as a movie. I absolutely think Joaquin Phoenix – blew it. I mean, just blew me away.
You saw my tweet, right?
I did.
And
right.
Do you agree?
I do agree. It's he knocked ridiculous. It out of the park. You know, they're different movies, so I don't want to compare his Joker to Heath Ledger's Joker or anything.
You know what I said to Jen after my wife after I saw it? I was like, "What Joaquin Phoenix did is incredible."
Right.
But, and it's hard to explain. But do you not agree that doing it, I mean, they're actually, I can't pick who's better. I've got my hands up like a scale right now.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I can't pick who's better because what Joaquin Phoenix did, he did in a rated R movie. What Heath Ledger did, and to portray basically the same thing in a PG-13 movie, you got to give them equal credit. In my eyes.
Well, and I think, you know, and again,
there's some recency bias.
I don't want to take anything away from Joaquin Phoenix either.
Oh, I'm not taking it away at all.
No, but what I'm saying is the fact that Heath Ledger's performance existed, I mean, there's a little roadmap there already. You know what I mean? Like, there's a little bit of channeling Heath Ledger, you know, by Joaquin Phoenix. And again, I'm not trying to take that away from him or his originality or his portrayal at all, but I mean, I think one existing feeds the other. But if you go back to Heath Ledger, it's like, what was he pulling from? You know, his was a little more original at the time, I think.
Yeah.
But like I said, two completely different movies, and I don't want to, like I said, I can't really go on record saying I think one was better than the other, because they, you know, they exist, in, like I said, separately in different franchises.
Right.
But like I said,
I hope he gets the Oscar for this, because not only for his performance being that good, but that would just be incredible for that. And I think that would be it's a testament to the character Joker, too. That no other character in all of comic books has ever got an Oscar, right? I can't think. Do you have the answers on the ceiling?
No, but I'm thinking. I'm looking up and thinking. I don't think so.
I don't think so either. So for Joker to get, potentially, even if he just gets nominated, which I think he should, that's insane. You know, that one character, and that's how special that character is, to be able to portray it like that. And did Nicholson get anything?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
I'd be lying if I said I knew for sure, but I don't think
so. Yeah, I don't think so either.
Because I think back, you know, in 89 when that was being made, it was so far off the track of any awards committees that they weren't even looking at that.
Right.
You know, they were treating it like Martin Scorsese does and
basically
pretended that it doesn't exist. Yeah, so I don't know if that really answers whether I liked it or not, because I don't know.
Well,
I don't really know if I liked it or not. Like,
obviously, we'll get into reasons why I'm conflicted as well. And the first thing I said walking out of the movie, I was conflicted. While watching the movie, I swayed back and forth. And they, you know, we'll get into it in spoilers, but they literally had me for a while. I was like, oh, why is it going this way? I didn't like a few things that they were doing, but I loved the story. I loved the acting. And then all of a sudden it went in a direction and they had me. And then bam. And we'll get into that in spoilers. They were so close, in my opinion, to knocking this thing out of the park and answering all the questions that we had and satiating even fans like us. And then it was a giant swing and miss because of one thing. And I know you know what I'm talking about, and we'll get into it in spoilers. But overall, it's a must-see movie.
It is. I mean, I absolutely am glad that I saw it once. I'm not sure if it's on my to-watch-again list at all, you know. I don't know if I never see it again, I'm okay with that.
75% of the movie, I felt the same way. And then at about three quarters of the way through, I was like, I gotta watch this again. I will own this movie. I will definitely own it. I think it's worth it. It's definitely worth to have in my collection. I collect everything else, and just his performance alone, I think, is worth me giving the dollars to. Whether I watch it or not that many times, that's how I vote.
Right. But here's the thing. You and I, we had a lot of conversation about this before this movie came out.
A lot of people did.
And what we wanted to see out of this. Yeah, but we're talking now. So.
Right, I know.
I'm referencing us. About what we didn't want out of this movie.
Yeah.
And literally 1 minute into this movie, we got exactly what I didn't want.
Right.
Because, and this is not a spoiler at all, but the Joker was a very sympathetic character through this entire movie. You absolutely felt bad for him.
Yeah.
from the jump. And that is exactly what I did not want.
Right.
you know, to happen.
I can't say I felt bad for him the whole time, but they were definitely pulling at those strings, and I was forcefully pulling myself back. I was like, no, I'm not feeling bad for him. He's Joker. You know what I mean?
Right.
If this was any other movie, I would have been sucked in. If it would, if you change the names of the characters and you make this an outside, you know, movie, then I would have been sucked in. And right. I think that's what happened. Like, my wife loves this movie. She's a therapist. This is all spoiler stuff, so I won't even say this stuff. I was just about to say something, but she loves this movie. I mean, she felt for him. She did all those things. And then we had a discussion about it. And I was like, that's what makes Joker special, is that you feel sorry for him.
And that's the thing, because for Jen, she doesn't have that attachment to the character.
Exactly.
And that's, again, and we talked about this before, but this is what I'm afraid that the general movie going audience is going to experience.
If anybody can see me right now, I'm nodding at John.
Yeah. Because they don't have that attachment to the character. And in this movie, he is built that way.
Right.
And again, this is still spoiler free. Even when you feel like you're getting sucked out of it and you're not feeling bad for him anymore, halfway through the movie, they suck you right back in again.
Yeah.
And now you're feeling bad for him again. So I didn't want that. Like, you know, like, I really didn't want it to be portrayed that way.
So,
and this is where I think the movie falls apart a little bit, because then it becomes very pedestrian.
Yeah, when we get to spoilers, we could talk about ways that I think that they could have saved that. Maybe they saved that. It's all interpretation. But that's the stuff that I'm dying to discuss.
Yeah.
Because this, you know, this movie is so, it's deep, because there's so many ways you could look at things as the movie had progressed. Even the ending. There are certain things that they're not open to interpretation, and I wish they didn't exist in the movie, because I think the movie could have been better if they had left that out. And that stuff is literally just for fans, comic book fans, Batman and Joker fans, because Jen didn't care about that. She didn't even know what some of those scenes were. Is that good? Is that, I mean, I
mean, it was good for me from the beginning. I'm ready to get into
it. Yeah, you're ready to get into it? All right. Lock the door. This is gonna get fun. All right. Spoilers. Let's just start at the beginning.
All right.
You felt bad for him 1 minute in, as you said. I didn't. I didn't feel bad for him at all at the beginning.
So you don't feel bad for him when he's on the ground getting his ass beat by these punk kids who stole his sign? Like, you don't feel bad for him at all?
No.
Like, no.
No, because I was – but here's the thing. This is one of the things I was saying about, if you took the names off of it. If this was a movie about just a guy named Arthur, you know, if like this was a dark version, a remake of the movie Arthur, I would have totally felt bad for him. But because I know who he is, I'm like, I refuse to, which is weird. That's
but
what
you refuse. So, right. That's what I'm saying. So you're projecting your bias on it, though.
Exactly. And,
right.
Right. But I refuse to get sucked into that. Well, you can't tell me I can't. I did.
Like, yeah, but that's the whole thing is.
Right.
I mean, if you detach from, you could detach from any movie. Right. And I mean, it just, it knocks down any movie.
Yeah,
that
but I know, but that's
great.
The thing. It's like, so here's the thing. If you're going to name the movie Joker and you're going to tell me going in that this guy's the Joker, then I'm going to have that bias against it. It's like, you know, like if you told me, I don't know, somebody had committed a crime against you and then you tell me, here's the guy, what's your image of him, regardless of him ever, of you ever meeting him? You know what I mean? So it's like, I have that. I can't say I don't have that bias. I do, because I know he's the Joker. And it's, I mean, it,
right. But then that shuts down the whole movie for you.
Not really.
Yeah, it does, because then you have no attachment to it at all. Then you're just like, oh, well, this is just the Joker, and I can't wait to see him shoot Robert De Niro in the head and be done with it, you know?
Well, all right. You want to jump right to the end. So,
well, I'm not jumping to the end,
but
it's spoilers. So
I know we're in spoilers, but here's the way I looked at it. By the end of the movie, they could have saved this whole thing. This movie, what if we'd need a sequel to, or somebody to come out and say what happened. So how did they end this movie? They ended it with him in a therapy session.
Right.
But throughout the movie, there were threads of things going on in his imagination, including him dating that girl.
Right.
What if at the end of the movie, this entire story was in his imagination? And then he flat out kills the therapist and walks away. That's Joker.
Right, but we speculated on that before this movie came out.
But that's what I'm saying.
We thought that, you know, maybe this whole thing happened in his head. And
right.
But that's not what they did.
Well, we don't know that. They could say, you don't know that the whole movie previous to him being in that room wasn't in his head. You don't know that. The creators could come out and say, you missed the point, you know, if we've missed the point. It's an interpretation, and that's the interpretation that I would, as a Joker fan, I would love to have happen, right? To see that as a reality of this movie. But the part that, to me, is, you know, where they really lost me on this movie, where it could have been a home run, where now it's just, you know, a triple, where they killed Batman's parents.
Right.
That was wrong. Why did they tie that? That was completely unnecessary to this movie.
You didn't have to have the Waynes, period.
Well, technically, according to, like, my wife, you didn't need to have any of these characters be tied to the DC universe at all to make this a great movie.
That's what I'm saying. So, I'm saying this didn't have to take place in Gotham.
Nope.
It didn't have to have the Waynes. And to me, and from what I hear, this was forced in by Warner Brothers. Like, I don't think Todd Phillips wanted to have any of the Batman references at all, and Warner Brothers kind of pushed for that. It could have been any rich guy. You know, it didn't have to be Thomas Wayne.
Right.
I really did not like how they, because in a sense, they made Thomas Wayne indirectly responsible for the Joker's existence.
Right.
And then the Joker almost directly responsible for Batman's existence. And I really hate that they wove them together.
Right. Well, so never mind the fact that they're trying to pull at the thread that the Joker and Batman are brothers.
Yeah, I have to admit, like, when I first saw that part of the, when I first saw that come up in the movie and they revealed that, you know, he was Thomas Wayne's son, like, I was pissed. Like, not even.
Right.
Like, I was flat out mad. I was like, I cannot believe they're doing this. Obviously, that unraveled and it turned out to not be true.
You don't know, though. But that's the thing, is they unraveled it, but then they re-raveled it. Because for all you know, because the way they portrayed Thomas Wayne in this movie, he's a dink.
Oh, yeah, he was.
So how do you know that he didn't fabricate all of this?
Well, I don't know. I do go with the idea that she was making it up.
Okay.
Like, in my mind, I do buy that.
Right. But now I think that's your bias. Like, I refuse to believe that that's, that they're brothers.
Well, but they let us, right. they explained it well enough through the movie that I believe it.
Well, if he's adopted, right? His mom was psychotic. He's saying she's psychotic and you're adopted. What are the odds that one psychotic person adopts another psychotic person?
I think she made him that way. Like, I think they broke him as a kid because they talk about the abuse and they talk about all these things that happened. Like, I think she manufactured that. But again, to go back to it, even if they were to tie them, yeah, it would bother me more if they tied them together and made them brothers. But I just didn't like how tightly woven they were to each other's story. Because again, it undermines the idea that the Joker could exist without Batman.
Right.
For all intents and purposes, like throughout the comics, you know, Batman needs the Joker, but I don't think it's really the other way around. You know, the Joker would be the Joker, regardless of whether Batman was there or not. And then here, you're going to get on me here for a second, but because you know how I like the age thing. But like the idea that they could be Batman and the Joker together is absurd. Right? You've got 8-year-old Bruce Wayne and like 45-year-old Arthur Fleck.
Right.
Like, the Joker's gonna be eating off the senior menu by the time Batman is, you know, is in his in his late 20s.
Senior like, menu. Where'd you come up with that one? Did you just go out to eat or something? And you're like, ooh, look it, I'm close to this discount.
Dude, I don't have to eat off the senior menu yet. And you're the same age as me, so.
But I know how great you are with money, and I know you're eyeing that discount.
Well, I'm looking at it from my wife. She's a little older than I am, and you better cut that out because I don't want her to hear this. But
I'm not the one that said it.
But in any case, like I said, that doesn't tie – it doesn't track for me at all. Like, there's no way that the Joker's, like, 65 years old running around taking beating from Batman.
That's just one – to me, that's just one of those things of – like, it's an Elseworlds story.
Well, right, and they don't because there's no intention that they're ever going to fight.
Let's start that again. Walking out of that movie, I said to Jen, I'm like, I don't think I've ever seen Batman's parents that old either.
Right, well, that's
like,
the thing.
Even his mom looked like, and he's like, oh, did you think she looked old? She looked like a grandmother.
Yeah, Thomas and Martha definitely looked older. The other thing, too, was, you know, again, Martha. Now to pull it. To pull at the age things, but the dude at the gate with Bruce, like, we don't know if he was Alfred
exactly.
or not.
Exactly. Everybody's saying it was Alfred.
And I don't think he was.
But I don't think he was.
I think he was just Wayne security.
Exactly.
But my point is, again, here's a guy that looked like, he says to Arthur, oh, you're her son. Meaning he knew who Penny was. And implying that he worked in the household alongside her working in the household. Again, Arthur Fleck is like, mid-40s in this movie, that dude only looked like he was 35 years old. So there's no way he worked in the household with that mother. So there was some inconsistencies there that, you know, like I said, I don't know what it is. I have a thing about people's ages.
I know. You just can't overlook that stuff.
It just didn't track for me. I was like, that just doesn't make sense. There's no way this guy was old enough to be working there when her mother worked there.
Of all the stuff that happened in this movie,
I know,
our listeners are like, we're on age again?
I know. Well, that's a minor one. But
that's
Batman,
what makes you great.
I know.
You're not afraid to hit
I'm
the
not
hard
afraid to tackle,
subjects.
To tackle the hard subjects. but again, the security guard thing, that's minor. But really, the Batman Joker thing, I mean, that stands out. Like, there's just no way they
you know what
like
I thought
said,
was
track.
What I thought was funny is the we saw the Joker and or Arthur and Bruce meet like last summer. I felt like
right,
and that has been like gone from existence ever. It's never been part of anything. Almost they wanted us to forget about it and then reveal it in the movie again. Because I remember thinking it in the last few weeks. I'm like, we haven't seen a single. There's been a ton of trailers. There's been a ton of pub for this.
Almost like they were trying to maybe they could cut it out of the movie.
Yeah, and then there it is. I don't know. I don't like that thread either. I don't like how they're intertwining it so, like, as you said, they're weaving it so tight. And I thought this would have been a much better movie. But at the same time, if you go back to my idea of this is in his head, the entire thing, that would explain the thread, how it's so woven. Like, obviously in his head, he's not thinking. Actually, wait a minute. What about this?
But that would presuppose that in his head he knew the origins of Batman and knew who Batman was.
What if in his head the age that he is there in at the end of the movie, his memory, like everything playing out in his head, we see at the age that he is there. But what if that's at a point where Batman already exists? You know what I mean? Like Batman's the one that put him in there because the last we saw him on the street was he was dancing on top of a cop car.
We don't know how he got arrested.
Exactly. So what if he got arrested? He didn't get arrested. He got his minions. He had all the Joker people and everything. He went on to his life a crime. And here he is. They end the movie with him in Arkham Asylum being interviewed as that's who Joker is. Batman's the one that put him in there. He kills the lady. Walks down the hall with the bloody footprints, and here we go again. They're trying to capture him, put him back in his cell. That right there, if they come out with that on the Blu-ray, do you know what that would do for this? That would be like, now that's a Joker story.
Right, but I think you're projecting what you want it to be. as opposed to what it really is.
You don't have
is.
To think that. I literally said, this is what I want this to be. I opened with, this is what I would like it to be.
Right. Which, I agree. Like, that makes it...
That would be awesome.
Much better, right? But again, it goes back to assuming that he knows who Batman is. And
well, by that point, he
has
may...
to have the Wayne tie-in.
Right.
You know?
And he could imagine that, look at everything I've done, I'm the one that, you know, he's, you know, that narcissistic personality... He's right. the one that caused all this. He's the one that did this. I thought that scene of him in the cop car driving down the street when he's looking out the window.
Yeah.
I felt like that was like, an homage to,
I don't know
to Heath Ledger.
Homage.
Didn't that feel, I know Heath Ledger was out the window, but when the way he was leaning and stuff, I immediately thought of Heath Ledger at that time. So, I mean, I don't know if they did that on purpose, but, excuse me. That's what I felt when I saw that. But again, him going down the street like that, he was looking out the window and he's thinking, I've created all of this.
Right.
This
Look
and that's that narcissistic personality, which would go back to this is all in his head and he's the one that created this is how he's getting by. Because, I mean, there's so many, well, not maybe so many, but a bunch of things that lend to his imagination creating a lot of this. Like the first time that he was on Murray's show.
Yeah.
That was all fake. That was all in his head.
Right, but the thing is, you get that. Like, when I was watching that, I got that. Like, I knew right away that was fake. I didn't pick up on the girlfriend thing, though, right away.
No, I didn't
like,
either.
That kind of had me sucked in for a little while. And when it really popped into my head, though, was when... She was sitting with him at the hospital with his mom, and I thought to myself, where's the little girl?
Right.
Like, who's watching the girl? Now, again, she could have got a babysitter or whatever, but I don't know. For some reason, that popped into my head, and then I was like, you know, and I started to think about it.
Yeah.
But they got me with that.
I mean, I'm surprised. Because Mr. Age here, you didn't think their age difference was too much.
Well, I mean, guys go after younger women all the time, but...
No, actually.
But it wasn't really until, cause even when he went into her apartment and was sitting on her couch, I didn't get it right away. Until, obviously, she walks out and says, what are you doing here? And then I was like, oh.
Language.
That was all in his head, you know, but.
Actually, what's funny is, I actually was sucked in too, to the point that when he was sitting with her in the hospital, the thought that ran through my head was, as psychotic as he is, he can hold down a girlfriend? Like, what is she seeing in him?
I know.
You know? I'm like, it's like, and she was being sympathetic to him, which I think, getting back to your thing where the viewer is being sucked in and having sympathy for him, I think she was put into this movie as like, as the viewer would feel like she does. But then come to find out, the only sympathy he's ever getting is the stuff that's in his head.
Right.
You know, so I mean, the more I talk about it, and this is why the further away I got from seeing this movie, like when I walked out in the parking lot, I was upset and I was happy. I was upset and I was happy. And I'm not saying just like, oh, that wasn't good. I was like angry. But the further away I get from it and the more I think about it, I can't wait to see this again. Look for other threads. I think this is a movie that is a lot deeper than we're giving it credit for after like the immediate viewing. I mean, just our discussion alone, we've uncovered things
again,
I didn't think of, you know?
Right. And I'm not trying to take anything away from this movie because like I said, it is absolutely a must-see movie.
Right.
It's just your reaction to it individually is going to be different depending on who you are, you know?
Yeah. Well, here's the thing.
Like we said at the top, lots of people love this movie, really love it. A lot of people don't like it at all, and I'm really kind of in the middle. I think it's an achievement. Like, I think what they did was great.
Right.
I just don't know. I think because it was so much of what I didn't want that it colors my enjoyment of the movie. Because the whole time I'm sitting there, like, even to the point where, you know, he's talking to the social worker there in the middle of the movie, and she says, Arthur, I've got bad news for you. The first thing that popped into my head, well, of course you do. Because everybody has bad news for you. You know, like, literally nothing can go right.
Right. But so one of the things about this, well, not one of the things, the fact that we're conflicted about it, I think, is what makes this movie so great. For a movie to be great, it doesn't mean you have to love the movie.
No, you don't.
It's this movie is creating, for this movie to create a visceral reaction in both directions is an achievement. That could only be accomplished if they made this a Batman in the Batman universe. You know what I mean? If this is just a movie about Arthur, and that's the only name we know, and it's just a character named Arthur, and this is the journey he goes on, it's a great movie, and we're happy to see it, and that's it. But the fact that it's tied in, and you have people that, like, Jen loves this movie, I think people that aren't inside the comic book world are going to love this movie. We get that extra part where we dislike it and love it at the same time. And that is an incredible feat to me. It's like, and that's art, you know? Right. Whether Scorsese thinks it's art or not and part of cinema, that's up to him. But this is a piece of art that is making people angry, but making people very happy or excited about it at the same time. Or right. Disturbed. I think everybody's disturbed when they leave.
Yeah, yeah.
Speaking of that, I knew he was going to kill Murray.
Oh, yeah.
From the beginning of the movie when you see him. I didn't – for a little bit, I thought he was going to go at the audience too. Like in
– Yeah.
Batman Returns. Is that what – yeah. Dark yeah. Knight. Dark Knight Returns.
Dark Knight. Right.
But then the more I thought about it as we got closer to it, I was like, he can't go at the audience too. That'd be too on the nose.
The thing that really, the hardest part for me to swallow about the whole end of this movie though was like the movement that was created around the Joker. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Like I don't buy for a minute that, you know, all right. So put yourself in like, you know, just your everyday life, and you're watching the news, and you see that a guy in a clown suit shot three guys on the subway today.
Right.
You know, like, do you think that within a week or two, there's going to be, like, crowds of people rioting in Boston with clown masks on their head? Like, I didn't buy it. I
understand it, but I saw it, and I bought it. Because here's why. They portrayed Thomas Wayne as such a bad guy. He is such an elitist that it created that divide in the city between, like, he literally at the beginning of the movie, I don't know the line off the top of my head, but he basically called anybody that hasn't succeeded and made money, didn't he call them clowns?
They said that. I mean, I didn't.
You know what I mean? So it's like.
You don't hear that, but.
No, I thought he said clowns or something. Whatever it was, but he was very disparaging to the lower class. To the point that it's like, instead of just being like, you know what? They're trying, they're working, they just haven't had the breaks that other people have had. Instead of that, he said, they don't work hard enough, they haven't achieved what I have achieved, they're clowns. And that line in the movie, you know, and I'm paraphrasing whatever he said, but that's right, what he was doing. But that's what created the divide in the city. And
I don't know. I don't buy it. Like, not to get too real world political, but I mean, you know, there's a figure at the head of our government that sparks a lot of controversy. People aren't looting and rioting in the streets.
We're also not living in a comic book world reality. You know, you also can't go on The Tonight Show and carry a gun on stage. You know,
nowadays you can't, but in the 70s you probably could have.
I don't know. You just walk out on stage and pull out a gun and nobody does anything?
It's not like he had it in his – it's not like he was brandishing it when he walked out on stage. Like, they didn't pat him down.
Yeah.
You know.
But I just think in this world –
But yeah, there's lots of things that can't happen now.
Right. But in a comic book world, you just buy it. You just go, oh, yeah, okay. I mean – fall in a vat of acid and become Joker. That sounds makes sense.
Well, I mean, I get, dude, I get the comic book thing.
No, I know, you know, but I'm just, and that's what I'm saying. So
but I just didn't buy, like, I didn't buy that he should be held up as this figure, you know.
But then that gets back into, it's in his head. If you put this all in his head, then yeah, do buy it because he has that narcissistic personality.
Right, but we're not meant to go there. Like, that's not what they're showing us on screen.
They didn't?
Not with that.
How do you
not
know?
With,
See, that's the thing is you know. Can't, and I'm not saying I'm right, but you can't tell me I'm wrong either. You know what I mean? They never, there's no proof to say it goes that way, but there's no proof to say that it didn't.
Right, but you could do that with any movie. Like, you could, you know what, you could end Rise of Skywalker next month with 8-year-old Jake Lloyd laying on his bed and waking up from a dream. You know, I mean, show me the entire Star Wars saga
could
be a dream.
But show me the evidence throughout the movie that would say that, where I can show you evidence in the movie where they're showing you that he has a lot going on in his imagination.
Well, we all do.
That's my point. But in the but not every movie shows a person imagining a girlfriend and imagining he's on the quote-unquote Tonight Show, you know, imagining all of this stuff, imagining that he's, you know, acting out him being on stage and dreaming of this stuff. So when they end the movie, how do you account for he was on top of a car dancing, a police car dancing, and next scene he's in therapy?
Well, because he was standing, like, he didn't go anywhere. He was just
there. Were no
there.
Cops around. He was surrounded by his people. Wow. And you see what I'm saying? The movie is kind of lending towards that idea. And I think it's meant, and part of it, I hope they never answer the question. Because then you get to look at that white painting like Wilson Fisk, and this is my interpretation of the movie. And whether you agree with me or not, that's fine. This is my interpretation, and that's what makes this movie, that's what's going to make me buy the 4K Blu-ray disc and watch the whole thing over and over and irritate you with my take.
You're not irritating me at all. I think that they portrayed certain things as being looked at from the outside.
Yeah.
That wouldn't be in his head. Like, all the news reporters reporting on the guy that shot Murray on the TV. Like, I just don't think that stuff would all be in his head, because that, I don't think that would be part of his fantasy. You know?
You don't think that final scene where they pan out, which I cannot wait to see again, because I thought that was great. I don't know what kind of theater you saw it in, but the sounds were all over the different camera, the different TVs. They were placed all over the different sounds were placed all over the room. Nerd out, sorry. But anyways, but you don't tell me a guy with that kind of narcissistic personality isn't imagining that every camera is on him and every story is telling his story? That you can't picture that? I mean,
it's not that
I play hockey.
You can picture anything if you want to, but
I play hockey, and when I score a goal, I sometimes imagine that the announcers are like, "Oh, the way you went, top shelf." Right. And it's like, and I'm not as narcissistic as him.
I just feel like there was things that were, you know, played out in his head versus things that were shown to us from the outside that I don't buy that it was all like it was all in his head. You know, like you said, I don't have no definitive proof. It could be.
Right.
You know,
no,
could be or it could not be. The other part, too, that kind of bothered me a little bit was that, like, the breakout, like, him being broken out of the police car, right? So, you know, he's being driven down to the police station.
I actually like that. You know why?
But, right, but here's my point
textbook.
Is, like, it's textbook comic book, but my point is, like, who knew he was going to be there? Like, how did they know? Like, how do you plan that? Like, again, to get into real world thing, you know, there's... You know, here in Texas not too long ago, you know, a dude went in and shot up a Walmart, right?
Yeah.
And I'm not trying to make light of it because it's a terrible thing. But, you know, they catch him. The police have him. As a dude just in the street, I don't know when he's in a police car. I don't know where he is.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I have no way that I could smash into the cop car with an ambulance because I don't know where the hell he is.
Right.
So, like, I just was thinking to myself, how the hell did they know?
Right.
To be there, you know?
Right.
And again, a comic book movie, you can suspend disbelief all you want.
Yeah, that one that you're right. If you look at that through reality eyes, how did you know to commandeer an ambulance?
An ambulance, right.
And then, like, I just thought it was more to that, it's a textbook comic book scene.
Oh, it was.
Scene. And when he hit him, I was like, I don't remember seeing the ambulance first. All I know is we were inside. My memory is we're inside the cruiser,
right,
looking at him, and then hit glass. And then you see an ambulance, and you're like, "Was that an accident?" And then the guys jump out, and you're like, "Oh, they're breaking him out." Because honestly, while he was going down the street, I'm like, "Are they going to end this like this? Like he just is captured?" And then that gets back to my theory is that like they wrap that around, like they free him from the cruiser. They put him on the hood of the car. He comes to. He's dancing around. Everybody's celebrating. Jump to Arkham Asylum therapy session. And it's just, right. You know, it again, it's like if I think like you and I are having a great conversation. This is a lot of fun. And we've completely eliminated the stuff that we didn't like about the movie, the Wayne's death and him being brothers and,
right.
You know, the real tie-ins that you're like, we could have done without. But at the same time, there's so much good stuff here that we can, what if this is that? It's in his head. And it's like, that would make it a legit Joker movie.
It would. Yeah, it would. You know, like you said, it would, I don't know if I would say it would save the movie for me, because I don't think the movie needs saving necessarily,
yeah,
but.
I know, and that's what I love about this, is like, we are that conflicted. Yeah. You're like, oh, that would save it. We're like, but we're saying it's a great movie. How do you save a great movie?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's an idea, you know, it's definitely a way to look at it, and, you know, like you said, we're never going to get a sequel to it. Well, I say never, you never know.
But, right.
I don't think we get a sequel to it. This was never intended to be a part of the like an integrated DC universe. So I don't think we get the answers to it definitively one way or the other.
I tell you, if DC universe wants us to come up with some unscripted, I got just end this movie with like he runs down the hall, he runs one way, an orderly chases him back, he comes back the other way, and you just have a giant Batman figure walk by. Imagine,
wasn't it like very Three Stooges at the end of this movie though? That's like all I could think of. It was just like,
yeah,
it's like the cartoons where you just see him running, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I want to double check on that, the orderlies, because is it the same orderly that runs by? Like, does he knock one out and then another orderly comes? I mean, because
yeah, I couldn't see, he's psychotic. I couldn't follow it that fast. But the other thing too, I thought was he was walking down the hall and he's got like his bloody footprints following behind him, but he's all dressed in white. It's like he didn't have any blood anywhere on him.
Right, yeah.
I was like, where did all that blood come from?
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, he just killed
her. Just like dripping down his legs.
Killed her in a pool of blood.
Yeah, I guess, but.
I'll tell you, to get back to the meat of the movie, though, I did like that there were threads of it. So before we get to that ending and everything, we're watching the movie. We have that Wayne, you know, Thomas and Martha get killed. That bothered me. But before that, I thought there were enough threads that we don't know his origin. One of our big fears leading up to this movie was, are they going to give him an origin story that we don't want? Because we like the Joker as it is, like his origin is a mystery. So they start to give you that origin and then they took it away because they said, you know, your mother, we don't know, because at first you were going to be Batman's brother. Then we took it away. Now you're adopted. So if we go with the adopted thread, we don't even know who your real parents are. So that whole flip flop back and forth actually lends to the original, like that idea that we like, that we don't know his origin, because doesn't even know his origin now.
But I think only if you're looking at, like, you're literally looking at his origin by his birth and like who created him. Whereas the origin of a character is not necessarily who your parents are or where you were born. It's the genesis of what turns you into the person that you are. And I think they did do that. More so than, yes, we don't know necessarily who his parents were or where he was born. But, I mean, they did give us his metamorphosis from Arthur Fleck to the Joker. And it's still, again, just not what I wanted to happen in this movie at all.
Right.
I'm not surprised, because we knew we were going to get it. We knew from every trailer that we were going to get
right,
that.
Right, but what I'm saying is they flip-flopped enough and created enough variables that you could come away from this movie and go, well, we don't know that that's all fact. We just know that that's what was told to us in this movie, which is an that's all. I'm not saying we can't have an origin. I just don't want a definitive. You know what I mean? And, oh, speaking of which, before we got into spoilers, I almost dropped it, but his laugh – That's a real condition.
I wasn't sure if it, like, Lydia asked me, is that a real thing? And I was like, I'm not sure if it is, but
my wife,
it made sense.
She's a therapist. Know? She deals, she doesn't deal with that. But we walked out and she goes, no, that's real. That's, and she could repeat it. I don't know what the term is, but she goes,
he had it on his
It's legit.
Card.
It's caused, the cause is the same, head trauma. But she said that is a legit condition and it's like, it's sad. You know, and it's like, I'll tell you the one part that I'm sorry to point at you.
It's all right.
The one part where I did get sucked in though, and I could not stop myself when he was playing with the little boy on the bus.
Yeah.
And the mom
turns
around.
Don't you feel bad for him?
That I did.
Oh my God.
I really did. That I felt bad for because I was like, you know, you just want to be like, hey, did you not see your son's bothering me? And instead of me being a dink, and bothering and saying, turn around, leave me alone. I actually played with them. And now you're telling me not to.
I was so mad at that lady. Me too. And then he hands her the card. And then she turns around and she's just rolling her eyes at him the whole time.
Right.
You know?
It's that like well used card.
Right. Yeah.
So it's that part there. I did feel bad, but that was it. And it quickly went away after that.
But I mean, again, how you don't feel bad for him when you find out he was like tied to a radiator or whatever and abused by his stepfather. I mean,
because I know he's Joker,
right? But I don't know.
I know he's the Joker, and it's just that one thing with the little boy is, you know, because of the little boy, it's like I couldn't pull myself out of that one. But all the other ones, I was like, I don't care. You're the Joker. That's no excuse. I know what he's done.
Right, but...
You know? Barbara's in a wheelchair.
You can't deny that they built him up. They built
Jason's
him
dead.
Up to be a sympathetic character, you know? You can't deny that that's what they did. Whether you believe
it or... Oh, no. I'm not
whether
saying
you
they
felt
didn't
it or
do
not.
It. I didn't feel it. I'm not. I haven't denied it at all. I just said
that's what
I refused
saying. Whether,
to feel it.
Whether you felt it or not
doesn't
mean it wasn't there.
Exactly.
And,
no, you're right. But I just.
But again, my argument has always been like, who doesn't have bad things happen to him? I mean, I say it all the time.
Right.
Like, if I didn't have bad luck, I wouldn't have any luck at all. You know, if anything wrong could happen to me, it happens. But again, I don't then find myself on a talk show shooting somebody in the head or, you know, because you could argue even that killing those people on the train was self-defense up to the point where he chased the guy down and shot him in the back.
Right.
But the two guys whipping his butt on the train, it's self-defense, you know? I mean, so it's you could even go with him there and say, look, you know, he was just defending himself. Now, again, when you chase the dude down and shoot him in cold blood in the back, you know, that flips a switch a little bit and, you know. And then the other thing, and then did they have to be Wayne employees? That was the other thing, too. It's like, if you're in Gotham and you don't work for the Waynes, you don't have a job. Because everybody either worked for the Waynes or they didn't have a job.
I know you hate convenience things, but that's how you tie Wayne to this.
I know, but that exactly. And it was so convenient.
But you have to. Otherwise, you don't have a story there. It's like,
because Wayne was, Thomas was running for mayor. Like, you could have, they didn't have to work for Wayne Tech or Wayne Enterprises or whatever. They could have just been any three random dudes. You still could have brought Thomas in.
Right.
Because Thomas was brought in for us because of the letters from the mom. You know, she was writing the letters to Thomas Wayne.
That was another tie-in.
But that brought him into the story. Like, you didn't have to tie those kids, those three guys
to him. Again, to go back to this is all in his head, he's blaming Thomas for everything.
Yeah.
So if you go to... If you go to that, like, he's imagining, like, his entire plight is because of Thomas Wayne. Those kids that he killed on the bus were Thomas Wayne, or train, were Thomas Wayne. Thomas Wayne is his father and it won't admit it. Thomas Wayne, you know, it's like, so maybe they weren't. Maybe he never killed those kids. He's just we don't know.
Maybe I didn't actually go to the movies Thursday. I mean, you could say, you could
maybe
keep saying
I'm,
that all.
Maybe I'm just making up my take because I saw Wrinkles the Clown.
Right. We all float down here. Georgie.
Jeez.
Couldn't think of his name. Yeah, I don't know. Like I said, It's an interesting thought. I don't, like I said, it didn't come into my head that way.
I looked at it more objectively,
like, you know, this is what, you know, we were seeing what was happening.
Right. Well, and that's the thing is if you look at the, I don't know if that's objectively, but that's more looking at it like literally. You're taking everything literal and not interpreting, which is fine. But if you look into the movie a little deeper and go, oh, what if this means this and this? And it's all what ifs. And that's what's right. fun about that stuff. But it's funny because I keep trying to go back to talk about the movie. And every time we mention something, I'm like, oh, but what if that ties into that? And I know right. I'm biased to that. And I get that. That's fine. But that's my take. And the more I, you know, it's like if you have a different take, tweet us.
Right.
It's like if you disagree with me, tweet us. But I really like this one because I'm finding the more we talk, I'm finding
because
more
the more
evidence.
Because the more you do it, the more you talk yourself into liking the movie. So
true, very true. And yeah. But I've said that since I saw it Thursday. It's like yeah. every hour that goes by, and I think of something else. And now that's why I told you yesterday when we talked. I'm like, this is going to be a very interesting conversation because whether we both loved it or both hated it or one loved it, one hated it, there's so much to unpack. There's right. so many, and I knew when you and I spoke yesterday, I'm like. I knew there's so much to interpret here.
Right.
And to see what we were going to get. And I'm not surprised at all. You are a very literal person. You love to look at stuff and take it. That's why age bothers you. You look at yeah. things for what they are. I tend to pretend right. and look a little further because if I don't like something, I'll bend it.
Right. I just keep bending it until I like it.
Exactly. So maybe we should call this the Pretzel Podcast?
Yeah, I was going to say.
This isn't the bright side. This is Pretzel.
We're the Pretzel Podcast. Yeah. Hashtag Team Pretzel. That's another one for Dr. Joe to keep up with all the hashtags.
Yeah. Oh, God. Yeah, I know. Yeah, and you – I don't even know how you dropped the ball. How did you misspell that – what'd you?
Well, I didn't. It was autocorrect. I know, but it – But I didn't notice it when I was typing it. I didn't realize it when I posted it that it corrected it to something else.
What was it?
And then I went back and read
hashtag T-nudge.
Yeah. And I went back and looked at, went back and looked at the tweet and I was like, I didn't type that. What the heck is that? And I was like, oh, autocorrect.
It had a space
yeah,
in it and everything.
T-nudge.
T-nudge.
Which actually I kind of like better. So.
Yeah, but it's a hashtag T and then yeah. nudge.
Yeah. I like that better because it just makes no sense.
Yeah, it does. Don't tell them like you like that one because now that one's gonna be
that'll weird. Be on. Yeah, it'll be trending. I'm still upset that hashtag Ash Capes never trended on Twitter.
The yeah,
yeah. I really wanted that to be a thing.
Oh well,
you'll can't get win by. Them all. Yep. Can we talk about the violence of this movie a little bit? Just in the sense that like before this came out. We talked about it the other day, how Warner Brothers was having to make statements, like, kind of condemning the violence of this, and, like, how there was protests, and I understand the people from Aurora, and, like, obviously, you know, they have a special circumstance, but, like, I didn't find this movie to be all that.
No.
Like, more people died in Rambo this last week than died in this movie. The most violent scene in this whole movie was where he killed the guy in his apartment with the pair of scissors. But, you know, otherwise, he right. shot three dudes on the subway and shot Robert De Niro in the head. We see that on Law and Order every week. Like, as right. I'm watching it, I just didn't find it to be
right
that bad. Like, because, you know, when I was sitting there before the movie started, you know, people were walking, you know, we got there a little early. People were walking in, and a couple walks in with their, like, 8-year-old kid. And, you know, I turned over to Lydia, and I was like, you know, these stupid people bringing these kids to these R-rated movies. And, you know, knowing what I had heard about this movie, I'm like, this kid's going to be traumatized coming out of it. And I'm not condoning bringing your 8-year-old to see this. But as I was walking out of it, I was like, well, that wasn't that bad. Like, he probably sees more than that on
TV.
HBO, on yeah. TV, you know. I don't know. I just didn't see the reason for the protest of this movie going into it. I don't think it lived up to that.
Yeah, and I think a lot of the real haunting stuff probably went over his head.
Right.
You know, the personality of the Joker, most of it will go over an 8-year-old's head.
Right.
And the actual physical violence on screen, yeah, you're right. I didn't think it was that bad.
It wasn't.
I mean, like, it was more, bad. Like, don't get
it
me
was
wrong.
More, but it was more psychological than than actually, like, actual violence portrayed. You know, again, you know, him getting beat, you know, kicked, knocked down and kicked a couple of times by different people, and he got beat up. But, I mean, you see that all the time in every movie that are not putting disclaimers out talking about how violent their movie is. Again, there's more blood in Rambo. People die more gruesomely in Rambo than died in this movie. You know, you have people getting knives stabbed, you know, poking out of their eyes and into their ear. You know, I mean, you know, it's gruesome. Deaths.
Yeah.
And nobody's out there condemning Sylvester Stallone for, you know, killing all these people in Rambo.
No.
So,
well,
I just don't, I don't know. It's not, I just didn't find it to be that.
I wonder
when I was
if
watching it.
I want, well, I want, if you have that whole, the, like you said, or the whole theater shooting.
Right.
I wonder if, because this is supposed to be based more on reality, where Rambo...
Right, everybody knows Rambo...
But I think it's funny, because Joker's a comic book character.
Well, it
so
is, but...
if Rambo
but
isn't
reality...
not a
super-powered
reality.
Character. Like, even in real... even in reality, like, if we suspend disbelief and go to reality, like, somebody could put on clown makeup and go into a grocery store and start shooting people up.
Yeah.
Whereas the idea of Rambo... and it's funny to say seems more far-fetched when you're talking about the Joker. But I mean, the Joker is a character. Yes, it's a comic book movie, but he's a character with no superpowers. Like, anybody could be the Joker.
Right.
Like, you know, they say, like, anybody could, like, with Spider-Man, anybody could wear the mask. Well, yeah, they can, but they can't all climb up buildings. Like, you still can't be Spider-Man, you know, unless you get bit by that spider. But I mean, I could be the Joker if I wanted to. Like, I could just paint my face white and go out and start killing people. So it's, in that sense, it's more believable. It is more grounded in reality than something like Rambo. You know, what's the chances that he's going to, you know, one guy's going to fight off the Mexican drug cartel and,
yeah.
You know. So, I mean, I get that. I do get what you're saying there. I don't, like I said, I just didn't find it to be, the violence to be that pervasive in this movie that it needed to have statements made and, because there's other movies that are based in reality, too, that they don't do. Like, you know, granted, this movie came out a long time ago, but, like, something like Dog Day Afternoon. Again, yeah. That's a movie that could absolutely happen. Taxi Driver, that's a movie that could absolutely happen in reality. But people weren't making statements, and they weren't out there condemning. Again, Robert De Niro killed more people in Taxi Driver than the Joker killed in this movie.
Yeah, but I just think the anticipation and what has happened, and it's also the, you know, the culture now.
Yeah.
You want to get that information out there and you, as a producer of something like this, or you want to get that information out just to cover yourself. And then that spawns that conversation of people being like, that's what, you know what I mean? So I think this is obviously the, like you said, like Stallone didn't come out and say, look, you know, my movie is going to have this, but we don't condone this. Nobody right. said that, so the news wasn't going to talk about it. Didn't spawn any conversation. I think because of the shootings, and mate, that's one of the reasons I figured that he wouldn't shoot up the theater.
Right.
As has been done in a comic book, but they weren't going to go there here because it literally has been done in real life, so you can't right. do that. And it's like, and then they also know that this is loosely tied to that character that it happened.
Right.
So that's what spawns the conversation. Doesn't take away from the movie. It's just something that it's
it's
sad portrayal of our society right now that we need to do that, that people feel the need to do that.
I just guess it was built up to be more than it was, you know, like,
well, of course
you go into this thing expecting like, there's just going to be nonstop blood and death through the whole movie because everybody's talking about how ultra-violent it was, and it really wasn't. Like, this is a character study. This entire movie is just a character study of one guy.
Yeah.
You know, it's not a violent movie necessarily. Yes, people get killed in it, and, I mean, any, you know, time you kill somebody, there's violence involved. But, I mean, it's not an inherently violent movie. It's more a study of this character and what his motivations are to become what he becomes. And I don't know. Like I said, I just didn't feel it to be worthy of having to make these statements and come out and kind of having it be condemned for being so violent before anybody even had a chance to see it.
Right.
So
on another note, I didn't know Joker smoked that much.
Yeah. Well, it looked like this was, what, the early 80s?
He's not going to be able to be on Netflix.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. But yeah, based on the cars,
that's what
stuff,
I was looking at.
I was thinking this was like an early 80s movie. You know, there's a lot more smoking going on then, but
late 70s, early 80s. I thought by the cars that we were somewhere in the 80s.
Yeah,
even late 80s, maybe by a couple of them.
Yeah.
Oh, another thing we haven't touched on is, what did you think of De Niro's character, Murray?
Johnny Carson?
Murray, yeah, exactly. Murray Franklin. How do I forget Franklin? It's our town's last
name.
Yeah,
it's where you, where we grew up.
What'd you think of him?
Well, I mean, I just,
you're gonna hate this.
Well, he was a prop. He was just a prop. That's all he was. I mean,
my gears are turning in my head.
Okay.
So.
Go ahead.
Yeah, he was a prop. But, so, I thought De Niro was awesome. I thought he played the role perfectly. Very subtle, but, I thought the character of Murray was, and here we go. I am so sorry, but here we go. He was a dink. He was an absolute dink. And it's like, I've seen some things where they're trying to portray him as like a Johnny Carson, which obviously he is. But I've seen a couple of things on YouTube where they're like, well, Johnny Carson used to do this too. He'd bring comedians on like Tiny Tim. I saw one YouTube video like, and he'd make fun of them.
To mock them, right?
Right, to mock them. But not in that way. Okay, so like what he did by bringing that footage on before he had him on the show and mock him, embarrass him, you know, it's like, oh, who's laughing now? And nobody's laughing now. And he's like, you can say that again.
Yeah.
I mean, he totally embarrassed a younger comedian or a lower comedian, which Johnny Carson would never do.
No, but talk show hosts now do that all the time. Like they pull videos of comedians, of idiots, you know, trying to rob a bank and trying to run through the closed door, like,
but not comedians.
Things that people do.
Yeah, like, yeah, Jay
like
Leno used to do
dumb
that too.
Videos
like, dumb,
and things like that.
Dumb criminals, stuff like that. Dumb videos that people put out, but he didn't, I don't know if Joker put out that video.
Right.
Because the video looked like it was taken by somebody else and posted, like, look at this idiot. A talk show host wouldn't do that. That was a low, low move that a guy like a Johnny Carson would never do. When Johnny Carson had Tiny Tim on, he didn't lead up to, look at this loser, I'll bring him on next week.
No, but I could see...
Because you wouldn't get the guy on.
But I could absolutely see in a world today, like, a little while back, everybody was making fun of, like, the bagel dude, that, you know, that video that went out with the bagel king or whatever, the short guy that got in a fight with a guy in the bagel shop and all that. I don't know, obviously, you're looking at me like you don't know what I'm talking about, but anyways, it was, like, a big thing, and everybody made fun of this guy, and I could absolutely see somebody like Jimmy Fallon playing that video and making fun of him. And then inviting the guy onto his show to talk to him. Like, I could see that happening in the world
that
we live in now.
But that wasn't a comedian. But that wasn't the guy's career. The bagel dude or whatever. And I don't know what that was. But, so, for instance, like, remember the kid that, the guy, he's 40-something years old, that cried over the Star Wars trailer?
Yeah, yeah.
People made fun of him, but then the higher-ups pulled him in. He became a sensation, and then people started bashing, like, the first girl that bashed him.
Right.
And he ended up on talk shows not to be made fun of, but to actually promote. Anyways, my point is Murray Franklin being a dink, another thing that says, like, that Arthur is saying, this isn't my fault, it's his fault.
Right.
He created me. That's his interpretation in his head. Like, he's a dink. He did this to me.
Right.
Did that really happen? I don't know. But you know what I mean? But it's like everybody on the outside world is against Arthur.
Right.
It, usually, if you think everybody in the world is against you, it's probably you. Because most people don't care about you. So nobody's against you because they don't care about you. So I just think I thought that, like, De Niro played that part really, really well.
He did.
So, like, for instance, like, when he was on stage in that first time, he came off as a dink, much like Thomas Wayne. When he was on camera, he came off as a dink. But then backstage, when you met him, he was like, hey, how you doing? He was kind of a nice guy.
Right.
And even to the point that his assistant there, when they were in his room,
We'll say, you can't, yeah.
He's like, no. He was actually in support of him.
Right.
So, you know, I thought, you know, very subtle, but I thought De Niro did a great job with that, with the limited scenes that he had. And it, but you knew he was going to kill him.
Yeah. Oh, no doubt. No. Well, yeah. I mean, because they showed it. They showed you he was going to kill him. They led you there when he was pretending, like when he was practicing.
Well, he was supposed to kill himself. Actually, he was he was going to kill himself, but you know that he never does that.
Yeah. Yeah, but they kind of led us there to where that wasn't much of a surprise. But yeah, I don't know. Like I said, same thing. A lot of it could have been in his head. Who knows? You know, again, like I said, if you look at the movie through that prism, then nothing happened at all. Like everything literally could have been in his head. So.
Well, no, that's not true. It doesn't mean that nothing happened. It just means that that's his interpretation of the happenings.
Right.
You know, so I'm sure, I mean, Joker doesn't end up in Arkham Asylum if nothing happened. You know, it didn't pan back to him sitting on the couch and waking up and going, oh, that could have been one way my life went. Clearly something happened. Clearly he's psychotic because they're telling you that he either killed the therapist or walked through some red paint.
Right.
So I don't know. I tend to believe that he killed the therapist because I know the Joker character.
The only thing that would,
Oh, speaking of which, I got a quick question. Speaking the Joker character himself. Would the Joker have let that guy live?
Well, that's funny because this is exactly what I was just going to say.
Oh, cool.
Because throughout the movie, as he was killing people, he only killed the people that he felt like wronged him in some way. He let that guy live in his apartment. He let him go because he was always nice to him. I thought it was awesome that the dude couldn't unlock the. I knew that was going to happen.
It was so sad.
You could see that from a mile away. But
and I, you know what? That is an. To me, I thought that was a great job of acting because he had to walk to that door and you knew getting there, he didn't turn around. You couldn't see his face, but you could feel the desperation by his body language when he reached and reached and then his shoulders and everything. And he just slumped and was like, I'm dead.
You open the door.
You know, before he said a word, you were like, this poor guy.
Right. Right. But he killed. You know, he killed that one guy because he felt like he framed him that he wronged him. And then you get onto the Murray show and he kills Murray, but he doesn't kill any of the other guests or any of the audience members because they didn't do anything to him. He kills the dudes on the train, but he lets the girl go. So why does he kill the psychiatrist at the end of the movie? That was my question. It's like, what did she do to him?
But see, that to me is more Joker-like because in real life.
Well, it is. Right.
You know what I mean? Like, in the real Joker would have turned and killed the
everybody.
The Dr. Ruth therapist.
Exactly.
Would have killed, you know,
would have killed the guy, killed both guys in his apartment. Cause here's the thing. It's like, you just saw me murder this dude and I'm going to let you walk out the apartment. Like, you're not just going to go to the police and say, Arthur just murdered this dude. You know,
it's right. Like, well, no,
you don't leave witnesses behind. He kisses them on the head and lets him go.
Yeah.
But yeah. It was, to your point, killing the lady at the end was more Joker-like, but it didn't fit in with how he was being portrayed throughout the movie.
No, but you know what's funny? And this is what ties back into the books. The latest Harleen book?
Yeah.
He let her live.
Right.
Which was slightly out of character for Joker.
Right.
For no reason at all, in the alley, he let Harley live.
She intrigued him, though. Like, the thing is, she intrigued him.
Right.
So...
Right, so he has like some modicum of reality, maybe.
Some kind of code.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, so letting that guy live, kissing him on top of the head, that guy's going to be tapped the rest of his life because he's what he just saw. He knows he's seeing the origins of what is the Joker later.
Right.
You know what I mean? And being like, I was in that apartment when he killed that guy and he kissed me on the forehead and I got to live. Why? That guy's a mess. That to me was like, when that happened, I'm like, that's not really Joker. But then again, they bring that back around at the end. He kills what we interpret. He kills the therapist for whatever reason. I don't know. Maybe when it plays out, he actually did kill all these people, but he likes to think, oh, I let that guy live. Who knows? And again, that's the thing about this movie. It's just so much, there's so much to unpack and interpret that one into, it's like a game, like when you read a book, like, where do you think this is going to go from here? And you interpret it this way, and now you have a different story. There's so many points in this movie that you're like, if that's true, well, then you're going in this direction. And then when you get there, there's other tangents. And again, I want to say, like, we have to do another episode of this when it comes out on Blu-ray and we watch it again and just see what we see. Because this is a very, you know, the more I talk about it, the more I'm liking it. Yeah. And I liked it a lot to start with. I was just conflicted. But now I'm starting to forgive all the stuff I was conflicted about because of my theory.
Right.
that forgives everything.
Well, right, because your theory makes everything plausible. It makes the whole movie awesome because
yeah,
you can just make it be whatever
John,
you want.
John, come on. Come on to my side. Come on, buddy. Come on. You do want to be happy. I know you do. Come on.
Oh, of course I do. But
but that's not a fun show.
No, it's not.
Like, okay, we're happy.
I don't look at the world through rose-colored glasses, so
I can't
be there with you, man.
The life's about balance, so if I'm looking through rose-colored glasses, how dark is it on the other side of my eyes?
Yeah. Open a couple of six-packs and maybe I'll mosey my way over. But
I had a conversation with Marcus from the boxes a while ago talking about the podcast and stuff that we could do. And he's like, sometimes you got to let the darkness out and just really go. Because, like, I'm positive. And even in our conversation, I was telling him I was positive. He goes, you really are, blah, blah. He goes, sometimes you got to let it out. And I'm like, buddy, you have no idea. I'm afraid to let it out. Because if I let it out, yeah, I might not be able to get it back in.
Yeah. You're like the guy on the cartoon and your head's just going to explode and you're going to shoot out into space.
You'd be like, you don't know. It's like, you ever heard the term Irish temper?
Yeah.
Anyways, enough about me. Let's get back into Arthur. Penny Fleck.
Mm-hmm.
Did you at all see anything about the penny reference?
Not until Batman? You just said it.
It's
not until literally right now.
So yeah. I when I saw P Fleck on the mailbox, right? I was like, P? Who's P? I'm like, because he's Arthur.
Right.
I was like, and I kept looking at the mailbox like, did the bottom part of the A get wiped away? And that's why it looks like a P. I was like, what? And then later in the movie, when they say penny, I was like, is that the penny? Is that their reference of the penny? And then I'm like, now I want to go back and see if there's like a T-Rex somewhere in the movie.
Right.
You know,
well,
and
now that you brought up the mailbox, I just thought of this too. You know, I'd love to be that guy because, yes, he's not getting a letter from Thomas Wayne, but he ain't getting any bills either. So
again, goes back to the dollars for you. He's not getting letters. He's not getting love letters.
I don't know why they're getting anything.
He's not getting bills. That's what
you
went
with bills.
Yeah, I don't
know why they're broke. Yeah, I don't know why they're broke because they're not getting any electric bills. They're not getting any water bills. They're like... I was like, you're not even getting a flyer from like the Gotham grocery store telling you what's on sale this week. It's like literally nothing in the mailbox every day. It's like nobody gets no mail. I wish I got no mail, you know. It's the 80s, so he's not getting all his bills digitally, you know. So I was just like, man, that's pretty rough.
Yeah, that's funny.
But yeah, I didn't get the penny thing till you just, like, literally when you said the penny, it, you know, it popped into my head, the giant penny, but she was something else as a character, too.
Yeah.
Again, they kind of led you down. Like, you knew she was, you know, an older woman, and you knew she was kind of, maybe she had dementia or something. You know, you didn't really know what was going on. But I didn't see the, you know, they didn't portray it as her being, like, crazy or, you know, out of touch or abusive or anything like that. You know, so I thought that was interesting that they went that way with her. Because, you know, again, I didn't see that coming either.
Yeah. No, it's, I mean, he ends up killing her.
Right.
But you don't know, is that his real mother or not? So you don't know, did he kill his biological mother? Did he just kill?
Well, if you go with what the movie's telling us that, you know, then he was her adopted mother.
Right.
But
we don't know. Because maybe Thomas Wayne, but then again, if you go back to, like, if this is in his head, then who knows? Maybe that is his real mother and it's like, I don't know. I mean, the argument against this being in his head would be like, well, if this was in your head, you wouldn't even be imagining that Thomas Wayne would be arguing with you.
Right.
Although he is disturbed, so he wants to blame
you can't put
people
any kind
for...
of, you can't put any rational thought into the Joker, so...
Right.
I mean, to say that he
wouldn't
be doing
this or that.
Sorry,
I retract that.
But I was going to say the same thing, because, like, if it was all in his head, like, if the entire movie took place in his head, there are things that you wouldn't imagine. Like, I don't think he would imagine himself at the Arkham wrestling the file away from the guy and then looking at it in the stairwell.
I do.
I don't, you know... But then again, then you just say, well, he's the Joker, so you can explain anything away because he's crazy. But I think there were certain things they showed us, like I said, from the outside looking in, that a person wouldn't perceive that way in their head if they were making up the story.
Right.
So
it's also like, I'm not, by my interpretation isn't saying that the entire thing was in his head, that events could have taken place and then causes were in his head. So like, for his, like, so maybe he really did kill Murray Franklin on stage. But maybe Murray Franklin didn't act the way we were told that he acted.
Right.
Right? And maybe he did go after the file, and that's what really happened. And then in his head, he interpreted what he read. Because that fits his narrative for, this is why I'm acting this way. This is why I am this way. And it's like, this, it's not my fault. It's because Thomas Wayne did this to me and my mother did this to me. So, you know what I mean?
I don't think that the Joker is introspective enough that he cares enough to figure out why he is the way he is.
So,
like the Joker, like if you're crazy,
oh no,
you don't
he's not
care why you're crazy.
Well, they you know? Tell you in the movie that he's, that his mother, okay, they tell you in the movie that his mother has narcissistic personality, not him, but you're led to believe that he has some of the same traits, right?
Right.
Which is like, well, that gets you back to that, that's his real mother. So maybe the Thomas Wayne story is real. Who knows? Which I hate. But anyways, getting back to him, say he has narcissistic personality. He imagined the girlfriend there, Sophie, right?
Right.
Well, who's to say he didn't imagine that, like, when he's driving down the street, he's captured by the police. Who's to say he didn't imagine all of those people celebrating him? Him saying, look at what I've done. And it's like, even to the point, like we referenced before, those news reports, maybe he imagined that. Maybe it wasn't a big deal. For all we know.
Well, if you shot Johnny Carson in the head on the show, people would be talking about it. Like, that would be news.
Well, they went like this early. They said earlier in the, if you watch that scene again, they were doing, and I know this is an audio, they're doing the cut scene.
Right.
So they may have already gone to cut, but in his head, he's still on the air because he walks up to the camera like, look at what I just did.
Right.
They were saying cut a long time before he actually does
it. But even if the audience, like the TV audience, didn't see the actual shot,
right,
it happened and news outlets would be talking about it.
Right, but not immediately and have it like the way they pull back, like this just happened. And we never see how he gets captured and put into the police car. For all we know, he shoots the guy. And then he gets tackled.
Right.
And then gets put in a police car. But in his head, he celebrated, shot him a couple more times, and now he's in a police car going down the street, and they even do that, like, psychotic look, like I said, references I thought was an homage to Heath Ledger, looking out the window. But he's looking out the window at, look at what I've created. Well, what if nothing's out there? You know, and then, I don't know, maybe, does he actually get freed there? Who knows? I don't know. It's like, I mean, it's
right.
All,
maybe that doesn't happen. Right?
Maybe that doesn't happen.
Maybe the car takes him straight
then,
to Arkham.
Right. You know? And then he goes straight
now,
to Arkham.
Now look at me. Now you got me saying maybe the car took her straight to Arkham.
Come on to the dark side. The bright side.
Can't do it. Can't do
get
it, man.
Out of
I gotta,
the,
I gotta pull
step
myself,
into the light.
I gotta pull myself back. I can't. Carol Ann, stay away from the light.
No, I mean.
I can't go. I can't go over that side. But yeah, you're right.
Did.
It could be right. You could be the whole thing could have been. He could have gone straight from the studio right to the hospital.
Right.
And you know,
like you said earlier, we could do this with any movie, but not every movie pushes you in that direction with scenes of imagination that he had throughout the movie. So it's, you know, that's where I think it makes it a little bit more plausible than, like you said, at the end of, you know, Rise of Skywalker, the whole thing was a dream, or Bob Newhart, you know,
Newhart. This isn't Dallas. The whole season wasn't a dream.
Right.
Speaking of, go back, most people won't even know what we're talking about, but Newhart was still
always great for content.
the greatest ending of any sitcom.
Oh yeah, Newhart.
Ever. Yeah.
Newhart. Yeah. Because that was the first time it was done.
Yeah. And it was so awesome.
Yeah. And you had to have a show previous to that.
Right.
You know, it wouldn't work. And to do that, I remember because I didn't watch the first show, which
I think
the first show was called Bob Newhart.
The Bob Newhart show. Yeah.
Okay. I never watched that one, but I did watch Newhart.
Right.
The one set in, Vermont, I think it was.
Yeah.
And they owned an inn.
Yeah. I watched both of them.
I never saw the first one, but when they ended Newhart, I knew exactly what they were talking about.
Right.
I didn't have to see the show. But yeah, that was great.
Yeah.
And how do you go talking about the Joker and then
just how great an ending that show was to that series.
So should I put that in the show title? Like,
yeah.
Issue 51, Joker / Newhart?
/ Newhart. How is the Joker like Newhart? We're going to play 6 Degrees of Kevin Bacon and see if we can get the Joker and Newhart together.
All right.
Yeah, my brain hurts.
Have I disappointed you enough? Okay, I like that. Your brain hurts.
Yeah,
okay,
brain
let's
hurts,
wrap this
so
up. Your
wrap
brain
up.
Hurts. We can wrap this up now because I definitely want to come back to this.
I'm going
to
go have a pretzel.
That sounds delicious.
I know. I'm starving. It's breakfast time here for those that don't know. Peek behind the curtain.
Yeah, exactly. I can't stop thinking about that. So we're definitely going to have – we'll be talking about this some more.
Yeah.
What did you guys think? Let us know on Twitter. Clearly, John agrees with me, but he's just fighting it tooth and nail. I mean, if obviously, nobody can see him. I can see him. He literally rolled back in his chair and then pulled himself back with an imaginary
rope. I'm clawing my way out. I'm like the chick from The Ring, and I'm crawling out of the TV.
We're coming up. Our anniversary is next weekend, and for the first time in our podcast history, he mimed for me. So the Joker is bringing out all the stops. So let us know. Do you agree with John and I? Because clearly he agrees with me. He just doesn't want to admit it yet. Yeah, let us know on Twitter at @thebrightside_chat. Email us at thebrightsidechat@gmail.com. Thanks to JR. The Hooded Collector for tweeting in. That
sparking
was great.
Sparking this whole debate.
Because we don't know what we would have been talking about. No, that was great. That was, let us know. We'll probably, we'll talk about it this week. If you hit us up before Wednesday night, we record Wednesday. It'll be out Thursday. What do we got coming out this week?
Well, we got Batman's Grave issue number one, is coming out this week. Again, that was a 12 issue miniseries that's kicking off. We have, Cobra Kai. So the Karate Kid spinoff is coming out. Joker and Harley Criminal Sanity, which is a 9-issue miniseries, starts. And then, of course, the big book of the week is Powers of 10, number 6.
Let's see how that wraps up.
Finally see how this whole thing wraps up.
What was the first one you said?
Batman's Grave.
Oh, Batman's Grave.
Yeah, that's the Harlan Ellison. It's written by Harlan Ellison.
I don't want to say I'm Batmaned out, but I'm not excited for that.
Yeah.
Maybe I will be. I'll have to look at it.
I'll read it, but yeah. I'm like you. There's so much Batman. I'm getting a little Batman and Spider-Maned out right now, to be honest with you, because there's just so much.
But I can't say any of it's bad.
Too much of a good thing. No, it's not that it's bad, but. Like you said, how much Spider-Man do I need to read every week, and how much Batman do I need to read every week? There's other things out there. The Harley Joker Criminal Sanity, you know, Harley Quinn and Poison Ivy number 2 also comes out next week. We just read Harleen, and then Harley Quinn has her own series, and, you know, it's kind of like
sensing a theme.
Well, it's got, you know, it's like the Wolverine effect from the 90s, you know, where you know, he was just literally in every single comic book. Batman sells, obviously. Spider-Man sells. So I get it. But, yeah. it'd have to be fantastic for me to sign on for 12 more issues of another Batman book. So we'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see how it goes. Oh, I'm sorry. Just saw this on Doctor Doom number one comes out as well. So some pretty big books coming out. Yeah, pretty big books coming out on Wednesday.
Yeah. All right, that's going to be a big week. It's always a big week. We always find a way to make it a big week.
These days it seems like.
All right, so what did you think? Do you agree with John and I's take? Because John's totally on my side. But, yeah, let us know on Twitter at @brightside_chat. Email us at brightsidechat@gmail.com. Rate, review, subscribe. Go on iTunes, give us a review on what you think of our Joker take. Give it 5 stars, please, but then write what you think of our Joker take. I'm hoping that we're the first ones with this take. That would be pretty cool.
I don't know, maybe.
All right, we've been talking a lot about this. Let's get out of here. Let's lock the door. Let's get into some spoiler talk about, House 6 and Deceased.
Okay.
And for those of you that haven't read it, check back with us later. But we'll see everybody on Thursday morning. Hey, Fred. All right, let's make this quick. I know we're going to talk spoilers. We'll want to do House first?
Sure.
All right, we locked the door again, which is kind of funny because it was already locked. You just double-checked it,
Yeah, I just
right?
double-locked it.
Double-locked it, so, all right. Ain't nobody getting in.
I kicked over the kryptonite rock and took the key.
Yeah, speaking of that.
Oh, jeez.
I made
one. You can't
one.
See it, but he made a kryptonite rock.
I'll tweet it out.
That's awesome.
So, not only is it a kryptonite rock, it's
but yeah, you could actually put a key in it. Yeah, I see that.
Who knows? Maybe that'll be a giveaway next week.
Yeah.
For our anniversary. Anyways, yeah, so we went long with the Joker, so it's time.
Yeah. Oh. It's still breakfast.
Well, this here is a...
you don't have to give it away.
Yeah, because they're not a paid sponsor yet.
Yeah.
Well, let's just say I get a little extra energy from it.
Yeah. It's more funny if you tell them it's breakfast and you pretend it's beer.
So, it's apple flavored.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That's my breakfast drink.
There you go.
So, anyways, let's get into House. Sorry. House 6.
House number 6.
So, you said the other day when we were talking spoiler free, you're like, it wasn't really groundbreaking. Right? I think that's what you said.
I don't think it is.
We've got all these new terms for comic books. It wasn't like a red bar.
Right. It's a red bar issue. We got white pages. We're coining all these TM, the Bright Side Chat.
Yeah, exactly. Well, the white pages used to mean a phone book.
Right.
But now it's something entirely different.
Right.
Well, actually, a lot of the same, really. It's very informational.
This book is so groundbreaking that it's making up new terms to refer to comic books.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it wasn't red bar-ish.
Yeah.
We're talking spoilers. I was taken aback that you have Apocalypse on this council.
Right.
And you have basically, now, you're more well-versed in the X-Men universe than I am, but has Charles Xavier ever gone this far to that side to basically be in Magneto?
No.
Okay.
No.
So that is groundbreaking then, no?
Well, but not specifically to this issue. Like, we've been seeing that with him throughout the entire series.
Yeah.
My point was that this wasn't, I think I said that it was just more exposition on things we've already seen, and it didn't introduce, like, House Number 2 introduces the idea that Moira is an ex, you know, is a mutant and reincarnates. You know, the next red line issue was basically the reincarnation of the mutants. So I just don't think this broke any new story details that we already know.
Right. I felt it did. I really felt that hammered at home with that opening scene of Charles telling the world, like, this is a new world. And, you know, you are right. We have seen threads of that in the past where you see that.
Right.
But I felt like the build up to it was incremental, And then in this episode, it just went off the charts.
Right, because I love the idea that...
issue, whatever.
Yeah, because I love the idea that he's saying, you thought this and you thought this, but
yeah.
While you slept, your world changed and, you know...
Right.
And he did come off as a little bit more of a dictator.
Exactly.
Than he has ever been portrayed in the past. But right. I just think those threads have been building through the series, so I wasn't... It didn't blow me away. Like, I wasn't taken aback by it. As much as I would have been if issue one opened that way with this full, like the full 5 pages that we got in this book, then I would have been like, whoa, you know,
right.
We've never seen that, but I just kind of felt like they've built those threads in enough that it wasn't super, like it wasn't a big shock seeing it. It doesn't take anything away from the issue though. Again, it's still a fantastic issue. I love the, like the council and the creating of the laws and dealing with Sabretooth. Like, I thought it was all great. I just didn't think it had that wow factor that some of the other issues have had. That's all.
Yeah, I was wowed by Xavier. I just thought that he... Because I do agree with you. It's not like it was a surprise. It wasn't a heel turn at all.
Right.
It had been slowly building, but my interpretation as we read the books, he was, you know, slowly turning, but he could always come back to the Xavier we've known, right? But in this one here, he just literally went full Magneto, even to the point that Magneto, before he made the announcement, I think, let me look in the book here, Magneto said something to him. He's like, oh, here it is. So, like page 2. Magneto says, Charles, and Charles says, yes, Eric. He says, whatever has been there between us over the years, all our disagreements, all the anger at the other's relentless ideology and unyielding persistence, that ends today.
Right.
You have my word. So basically, that's the announcement to me. That's why I thought this book was groundbreaking, is that that's the announcement that what you're about to read, you have never read before.
Right.
Because he's referencing old X-Men books with that statement. Magneto's referencing old X-Men, old Charles, everything that we have known, come to love about the dichotomy between the two characters. These next panels are going to change everything. So I agree with you that it's been building, but I thought that it was almost red bar worthy.
Like, seeing it all spelled out panel by, like, we've got to see his whole speech now. Whereas mm-hmm. before we really hadn't seen it, but we had enough threads of it. Like, we had seen that line before where it said, while you slept, your world has changed. And we've known since issue 2 that he was different because...
He's walking.
Moira shows him. She said, like, that was right. The whole point of issue 2 is, like, your dream doesn't work. And she showed him all the threads of how every different scenario was going to play out. I think that's when we knew that we were going to see a Charles that we had never seen before. And I think you can infer just from the fact that Magneto was by his side the whole time that he was sliding more towards his ideology.
Yeah.
But Magneto also saw, like, they showed him too. So he also saw that his dream didn't work either. So by the same token, he was sliding a little bit, like, they both moved. Like, I don't think Charles went completely to Magneto's side, but he shifted more that way. But, you know, Eric shifted. They both shifted towards the middle. You know, again, to throw today's politics in it, you know, you have the right wing and the left wing, and they both kind of came towards the middle a little bit and met there. Like I said, I don't want to take away from anything here, and I get what you're saying too. I just kind of feel like we've seen most of this coming. Now, the creating of the laws, I thought, was different because we hadn't seen that part of
it. No, that was new. And I felt like, you know, that whole Magneto scene that I read, we knew, like, that was basically saying that everything from here on forward is going to be new, is going to be different. And those, you're right. So those laws fall into that. And it's like the rest of the book is going to be different. And I think that leads to how we get to, remember, like, one of your things is like, how do we get to 1,000 years in the future?
Right.
Well, everything's going to be different. And all these books, and that's why I'm excited for the new X-Men book, because now we have a foundation and it's all new. It's all going to be different.
Right. Here's where I thought, I think Sabretooth really got a raw deal in this. I don't know if you felt the same way too, but
I kind of did.
Picture yourself as Sabretooth, right? I go out, but
he's being convicted on laws that didn't exist yet.
Right, right. I go out and I kill somebody. And then you pull me in front of a tribunal and say, okay, we're going to create a law right now that says you can't kill anybody. And then I'm going to convict you for what you did 2 weeks ago. It's like,
right.
You can't really do that, you know? It's like,
well, I mean, unfortunately, you can't kill anybody. And that was pre-existing when he did it. So.
But it wasn't.
But I agree with you with like they're creating new laws. How about that punishment?
Yeah, that was awesome. That was awesome.
That was terrifying.
I'd rather you kill me, but
that's the point.
But yeah,
but and then the worst part is, well, not even the worst part. For Sabretooth, he's like what, in dark limbo forever?
Right, forever.
But they can't pull him out
till maybe we decide we're going to pull you out.
Right. So you're just dark forever. But there's that slight glimpse of hope,
right?
Maybe
he comes spitting out in year 1000, and we get to see him running around. But yeah, I don't know. Like, I just don't think you create laws and then retroactively convict people that broke them before you knew it was wrong, you know?
But that's the thing. I mean, we could get into a whole conversation, but what he did was wrong under our laws, human laws.
But he
wasn't
wrong under mutant law.
Mutant law didn't exist.
Right.
So basically what they said was, all they wanted to do was they want to be able to punish their own.
Right.
So I can agree with that. And I do agree with, like, don't kill humans, being a human myself. I'm not upset about that. But I did exactly see what you were talking about when I read it. I'm like, wait a minute. He's being convicted under laws that didn't exist.
Right.
But technically it did, because it's either that or they give him back to humans.
Right. It was man's law.
Right.
I mean, we get that. And Magneto did say, I told you no casualties. So,
right.
I mean, he did go into it knowing that he wasn't supposed to do that. I just thought, you know, like I said, you don't convict somebody retroactively once you create a law. Because they we've created this law and now we're punishing you for it.
But it would be an odd book if they came out with, well, we hadn't had this law before, so you got a freebie.
Right.
It's like, how would that look with the humans? Be like, wait a minute, what do you mean you can't, but you're letting him go?
Right.
To get back to that thing about Magneto, and you said, like, we were talking about the threads building to this book. Am I remembering wrong, but weren't there parts where Magneto, as the story was unfolding in previous issues, where he was unsure about what Xavier was going to do?
Right. There was some scenes with him and Mystique early on where it led you to believe that maybe he wasn't as on board as he was pretending to be. But I think as the story played out and he realized the convictions that Charles was going to have, I just think he came more on board and we just didn't really see that. But no, I remembered it that I remember that too.
So that's what lent me to this. Like you said, like we've been building to this, but I feel like if you're looking at a chart, it was like we're at like 2%, 3%, 4%, 5%. And then all of a sudden this issue, it's like 100%. It's like Xavier, that was Xavier's build to where he is now. It just ramped up exponentially with the turn of a page.
Right.
And that's why I was like, I really like this issue. And I agree. It's not a red bar issue, but I was shocked by it.
The other thing I noticed too, did you remember, like we talked about last issue was kind of the Emma Frost issue. And she was talking about how she needed 3 seats at the table, but she didn't tell you who they were for.
Yeah.
When you get to this issue and you look at them all at the table, there's an empty seat there.
You know who it is?
No, because there's nobody there.
I can tell you who it is. I won't tell you now.
Or did I miss it somewhere?
Nope, it's not there. It's somewhere else in the Marvel Universe right now.
Oh.
Well,
maybe I haven't read that yet. I don't know. I don't know who it is, but I think it's cool that if you look
around
the table.
I'll tell you off air.
If you look around the table where Magneto and Apocalypse are sitting, there's one empty chair, but I would assume that's Charles's chair because he's standing. I'm looking at the picture I'm looking at. So I would think that's his chair. And then you go all the way around the table and every chair is filled except for the one empty one by Emma
Frost.
Next
to her.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'll tell you off air, but if you go to your comic book stores, that's where I got my information. Ernie.
Well, now
Ernie
I'm thinking
Slade.
I've read all the books this week, so
it's not out yet.
Oh, okay.
It's not out yet. It's a future, and people know because of it's been, like I said.
All right. Yeah, we'll
you
talk
can
about
probably
it.
Google it online, but that's all I can give out. Okay. But yeah, I know who it is.
Okay. Well, anyway, I just thought it was cool that like they left that seat empty at the table. Like they literally they put a seat there, and then they just didn't put anybody in it.
All right, that's enough on X-Men. Let's do Deceased number 5.
Okay.
Spoilers here. I'm really liking this Deceased. It's only a 6-issue, right?
They didn't extend this? No, as far as I know, it's only 6, so we got one more.
We got one more to wrap up after this giant turn.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're talking spoilers. We know we like Deceased, blah, blah, blah. So Superman coming at the flat, I was on the edge of my seat.
Yeah.
Like when he's like, you can't catch him or I can't catch him. And he's like, I don't have to catch him or whatever he said. So he just goes the other way. And he had to do that.
Yeah. I mean,
it's happening so fast. It's like as you're reading it after the fact, after they collide, you're like, maybe there's another way this could have been done. But it's happening so fast because you're like, the Flash, he could infect the planet in how fast?
Seconds, yeah.
Right. So Superman's going to go back around the Earth and collide with him. And did you see that coming?
No.
That it would infect him?
No.
I saw the collision and I was like, okay, that's what you do. But then you're like, the collision was so great, there was nothing he could do. He got infected.
Well, I just love that he like literally flies through it. Like he just pulverizes the Flash, which is awesome.
And the parts, that was graphic.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm looking at this scene right now, and it's like, yeah, and I guess here's the only part I don't understand quite is that it looks like he got
stabbed with a rib bone or something. Like something, he got, yeah, he got stabbed with some rib bones, and that's how he got infected. But how does he?
I almost said he got the codex, but I'm like, wrong story.
Right. But it's like, how does he, like, that shouldn't penetrate his skin. That's the only thing that bothers, like, nothing should have penetrated his hide. You know what I mean? It's like
maybe I don't know the collision.
I mean, the
I
force.
Think that's
I get. I mean,
the force is
so massive. But yeah, you just in nowhere in the Superman lore do you show him ever really getting. There was no kryptonite involved.
No, but didn't they say like we got? Was that in this book? We got to find out what happens when you hit an immovable object
hits the unstoppable force or something like that. Yeah, I don't know. They merge. It says, yeah,
right. So that answers
right.
That.
It says
the day we found out what happens when the unstoppable force meets the immovable object, they merge.
Right. So that explains away penetrating his skin because he merged with the Flash.
I guess, but
so after that, what I thought was really cool. He immediately goes to Wally because he knows he only has like a second before he's turned. So he goes to Wally and he says, you know, he wants to be in the Speed Force.
Right.
So, you know, like I want you to bring them in so that I can talk to them. And so like in 1 second of our time, he talks about all of like he gets his conversations out.
Right.
His goodbyes, which I thought was incredible. I thought, like, that's just, it's sad, incredibly sad, but I thought that was, like, great thinking on Superman's part, and obviously the writer.
right, because he thought of it in a millisecond also, you know, because,
exactly.
Like, I guess my only point with this is, like, yes, he brings him into the Speed Force to say goodbye, and then he kisses Lois. Well, like, doesn't he infect her when he kisses her? It's like...
I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe that's in the next one.
maybe like Speed Force kisses don't work or something, but it's like I'm looking at it right now and it's like he's wiping her tears and kissing her. And it's like, doesn't that infect her? It's like,
I don't know.
But yeah, just this,
maybe because he hasn't turned yet.
Right. I guess.
You know, it's that millisecond before he is turned. So he's not infected yet. He's just about to be.
But
I
love
know.
The, you know, because I'm, you know, and I have to go both ways because I'm one that's known to be very critical about art. And when I don't think something is
right,
when I don't think something is good, I point it out. the one panel in this book that kind of blows me away is like when he's saying goodbye to John, he tells him, you know, just keep helping. And like the middle panel, it's like he's got that, that smile, like he's got that forced smile on his face. And I just think the artist captures that. Like you can see it where his eyes are sad, but he's got that, like that forced grin, like he's trying to put on that front.
Yeah, he's got tears building in
his
eyes.
But it looks so, like it looks so authentic, you know, like it really captures
that,
me.
Like,
that,
okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like I said, I got to, you know, I point it out when I think it's bad. So I definitely wanted to point it out when I think it's good. And I love that panel in this book because it just captures, I just think it captures that moment.
Yeah.
You know?
No, it really does. No, that's a great point because it's a small panel too.
Right, right.
But
it just
grabs you.
It's just the middle panel of a page. It's not like a big splash page or anything, but it just really, like I said, it captures that whole moment more than any. It didn't have to have any words. Like that, there could have been no dialogue there, and it would have been perfect. You know.
Well, I even like the way they paced out the dialogue on that panel. It was, you know, he's saying like, no pressure. And then that long gap when you can't control.
Right.
You're trying to control yourself. And it's like, no pressure.
Yeah, he's got that choked
up
smile.
Just keep smiling.
Yeah.
Just keep helping.
Right.
You know, and he's got the big smile on his face. And then you look down and John's looking up at him. That is the next panel. And you just, oh, yeah, it's really, really, really well done.
Yeah, and then you get to the end. It's like, you thought it was bad when Captain Atom exploded.
I know.
Where do you see what kind of havoc Superman's going to wreak on the planet, you know?
Yeah, it's, and he's trying to get away.
Right, because it says something, he wants to starve himself from oxygen before the virus could, but he's not going to die in space.
It's only a second.
That's what I'm saying.
It's, like, it's only a second of time. Yeah. It's like, I don't. You're not going to starve.
And it looks he's heat blasting. I can't really tell what's going on, but it looks like his heat vision is blasting down towards Earth on the very last page.
Well, actually, it looks like he's away from, or if that's the moon, maybe, yeah.
Because I can't tell if it's...
Is that the moon in the background?
Well, right. I can't tell if it's something that's flying at him or if it's shooting from him, but it looks like it's his heat vision.
Right.
It's like exploding out of his head, so...
But the story is... The entire story is being told from Lois's point.
Right.
Because she's the narrator here, and it's like, you know, it's like, and any hope our world had was gone with him. So,
right.
How is the next book?
Yeah,
how are we
going to
wrap it? Does this, like, is the next book, is there no hope?
Well, no, I would love to see this book fail. Like, I would love
like,
for this
book to
end.
Like, the
book
doesn't fail, but.
Right. No, right, but I want this book to end as, with total devastation. Like, you know what I mean? Like, to me, I think it would be a great story if they just can't save it. Like, because who's left to pull it out? The only one left to pull it out is Wonder Woman. Like, there's no character left that's powerful enough to make an impact except for her. And I don't know what she could do to save it at this point. You know,
how do you pull that back?
That's
I mean,
what I'm saying. I don't know
Batman
how you pull it
unless
back.
Unless you pull a you know, a Batman has been in hiding type thing.
Yeah, because you never really see him specifically turn. They just imply it, but
But he was like one. He was like the first big to go,
right?
And he fought it for a while. For a while, it's a 6-issue book,
right?
But yeah. So I don't know. But it's like hope lost, and it's how do you bring that back? But I agree with you. It's like it kind of would be fun, but then
because we just know we know it's an Elseworld story. So let it all go to hell. You know, and you know,
exactly.
It'd be great. You know, what would be great is if it could all.
We
go
all had those moments playing with our toys where we just destroyed everything.
Well, to me, it would be awesome. Like if it all goes to hell and. Like, then it flash forwards to, like, the future, and that's where you have, like, Commandy, the last boy on Earth, and, like, that's how the world was destroyed, which would be kind of cool, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
But I just wrote the end for you, so.
Yeah, I think they'll pull it back around. But,
oh, I'm sure they will, because it's a comic book, you know?
But that's what's fun about it. Like, we don't know how they're going
to
do it.
Yeah, they only got 22 pages to do it, so.
Yeah, they could make it a bigger issue.
Yeah.
All right, is that good?
I think so. We're 2 hours and 20 minutes into this, so no.
Huh?
No, we're 2 hours and, two hours and 20 minutes into this, so I think that's good.
Oh, I know you touched on the that panel, but I would like to say I'm really enjoying the artwork in this Deceased series.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think it's really good.
I do too.
it for a dark story, it's a bright, I thought that, you know, it's a pretty bright portrayal, the way they're using the colors.
Yeah.
And it's a little sketchy. I'm surprised you're enjoying it. But I really
don't
do
stereotype
like it.
Me, man. I'm layered.
No, that's just what you like.
I'm like
what
an onion.
You like and don't like.
I have layers.
Yeah.
I also like a good parfait.
Parfait? Who doesn't like a good parfait? Yeah, no, I'm really, really enjoying the art on this book. It really sucks me in.
Yeah.
It's good. So, all right, we'll wrap up on that. We've been going a long time.
Yep.
It's been a fun one, though.
Yeah, it has.
All right, let's get out of here. Unlock the door. Let me out. See everybody on Wednesday.
All right, take care, everyone.
Thanks for listening to the Bright Side Chat. We have a few sponsors who we'd like to mention. Arkham Comics and Games of Pearland, Texas. You can find them at arkhamcomicsandgames.com, one word. A. Pennyworth's Comics and Collectibles in Matthews, North Carolina. You can find them at apennyworthscomics.com. Apothesis Comics and Lounge in St. Louis, Missouri. You can find them at apothesiscomicsstl.com. Friendly Neighborhood Comics of Bellingham, Mass. You can find them at friendlycomics.com. Legends Comics and Games of Littleton, Mass. You can find them at legendscomics.com, comics with an X. And also Rubber Chicken Comics of Bellingham, Mass. And you can find them at rubberchickencomics.com. So what's cool is all of our sponsors have agreed to give our listeners a 10% discount on any comics we talk about in our podcast. So if you hear it in our podcast, just go into any of the stores that we've mentioned and tell them you listened to the Bright Side Chat and you heard about this comic there, and they will give you a 10% discount on any of those books. Hopefully you guys can take advantage of that, and thank you to all of our sponsors. Thanks for listening.